What if I tell you today that the ridiculous, radical, revolutionary, redemptive, restorative, redeeming, reconciliatory Christian truth that makes our faith unique on this planet is the following undeniable truth. Watch this. When you follow Jesus, more demands less. What you talking about, Willis? More means less. What? More of God means less of you. Once upon a time, there lived a man convinced that he knew God. God wanted more for him and more from him. So he encountered this man on the road to a city called Damascus. The outcome of that more encounter changed the world forevermore. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was committed, eager to kill the Lord's followers. Lord, Pastor Lauren Dittmore, where are you? Is Pastor Lauren here? Pastor Lauren, in light of the comedy sketch on this stage and the fact that you're wearing your Paul sandals, your Burks, come up here right now. Give it up for Saul of Tarsus, please. Give it up for the best sandals on the planet. Did you get them done recently? They're all shining. That you're,
I mean, I just got to polish them every
You once polish them every once in a while?
Yeah.
Okay. You put little diamonds in them and all that?
Crystal gel.
You don't judge here, buddy. That's all you. Be you. Pastor Mondo sent you that place. Okay. So this guy with the sandals went to the high priest. He requested letters to address to the synagogues in Damascus. I love this. Asking for the cooperation in the arrest of any of the followers of... Can somebody read that for me? I'm wearing my Clark Kent glasses today. Any of the followers of... Can anyone just... this is not scripted, as you can tell. Can you tell me what's interesting about the word way? Do you think that's a coincidence? Throughout the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, filled with the Holy Spirit, Dr. Luke writes this. Every time he talks about the way, he capitalizes the word way. Look, randomly, there's just a word way, and it's capitalized. Any of the followers of the way. So Christians were not called Christians in the beginning. You know what we were called? The followers of. That's it. I just gave you the first descriptor that assigned to us. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" If you're taking any notes, I'm going to be very brief here today. Number one, more of God means less of your way. More of God means less of your way. Well, let's do it one more time. Followers of the what?
The
capital W. Listen, we live in a world with many ways to express opinions, many ways to engage in relationships, many ways to self-identify ethnically, sexually, otherwise, many ways to acquire information. In this biblical passage, I love this. The Holy Spirit drives Luke to say, we're not just a way. We are followers of the, oh boy. Early Christians were known as followers of the way. I love this because it was a capital W. It was a capital W. It makes it unique and exclusive. And I want to double down on this. In this church, we don't offer 1,000 ways. We don't offer you 100 ways. We don't offer you 10 ways. We don't even offer you 5 ways. I'm going to be honest. We don't even offer you 3 ways. We offer you one way. And that way happens to have a name. It is the most beautiful name in all of the universe. It is the name above every other name. It is the wonderful, powerful, liberating, chain breaking. It is the name that makes makes cancer shrivel up and die. It is the name that sets an addict free. It is the name that'll turn around a family full of drama becomes a family full of destiny. It is the name that brings an end to every generational curse. It is the name that heals your mind, that heals your heart, that heals your body, that heals your soul, that heals your destiny, that heals absolutely everything. What name am I talking about? The name of Jesus. If you believe there is power in that name, shout that name, praise that name, worship that name. It is that name, the one way name. I love it. It's the way. The early church, this guy came against the fight. He hated them. He wanted to kill them. Not my wording. We read it. Matter of fact, he wanted to kill them. The early church. All right, look around you for a second. I want to show you some stuff here. We are comfortable. Let me explain. Like, look at us right now. We're in an auditorium in Northern California. It's going to be 101 degrees today in Sacramento. Yet our HVAC units are working, air conditioning. You're in comfortable seating. You're so comfortable, some of you either praise or nap. And sometimes you praise while you're napping. You know our church, we're putting in massage chairs next year. Oh, we don't play. In the middle of the sermon, you're going to hear, boom, boom, boom. It's either going to be the Holy Spirit or you reacting to the massage chair. But look how comfortable, right? We have everything we need. Even if you look up here for a second, we have LED screens. Sometimes even people on LSD can see the LED screens. I mean, we have so, somebody said, that's me, praise the Lord, it's my testimony. This is, stop it, don't. This is, seriously, we're comfortable. How many people that come to church, how many of us would survive if they started persecuting Christians the way they persecuted the first Christians for the first 300 years? There's a certain nation that is streaming. So I'm gonna mince my words because there are people from that nation streaming, and the government gets involved and shuts down the internet for certain people. In a certain nation today, Christians meet underground. Literally, they convey little messages. They leave little things behind to meet, because if the government finds out, they come after you. They imprison you. And it's pretty amazing how Christians. And by the way, in that one nation that I'm referencing, it is the nation right now with the fastest growing number of Christians. What the devil doesn't understand till this day, because he's such a liar that he lies to himself, he doesn't get it. The devil doesn't understand that the more you come after the followers of the way, the more the followers of the way preach about the way. What the enemy doesn't understand is that we're not a normal entity. We're not a government. We're not a political party. We're not people on Instagram and Facebook with our own little hustle. This is not a side hustle, baby. We're not just anything. We are the followers of the way. We are the followers of Jesus. Back in the Roman times, when Saul was persecuted, this is pretty amazing. They would walk around. This is what people would actually do, not making it up. So you're a Christian. You had to be, you know, in the DL. You had to be in the, you had to cover your Christianity up. So, but you wouldn't. Let me explain. You would walk around and go like this. This really happened. We know it because we have the archives and the Roman writings to prove it. People would go, there's nobody around. And they would do half a fish like this. Half a fish, not the full fish. Then they would go like this. And they would wait to see if somebody else would come and finish the fish. And if somebody would come and finish, do you have that graphic up there? April, can you go back up there? If they would finish the fish, and whoever would finish the fish, that means they were a Christian. Then that's it. And then this person would see that person finish the fish. And then go like, come here, come here. We're going to meet in the following house at the following time. We're going to pray together because Jesus told us if two or more. I don't know if you get this. If two or more. If two or more would gather in his name, he would be in the midst of them. That's how Christianity became the greatest and largest faith group on the planet. In the midst of persecution, what am I telling you? The world is falling apart. Everything seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. It looks like the devil released all the proverbial Kraken simultaneously. Doesn't it look like the devil basically went, hey guys, might as well do this. Everybody get out. All the demons, y'all get out. Get out of your buses. Let's just go. Let's go. COVID, things, the economy, people. Let's do away with every vestige of truth. Whatever everybody believed was true. Let's just confuse people. Let's divide people. Violence everywhere. They're killing people everywhere. South Africa, Texas, Illinois, the former prime minister of Japan, a spirit of violence. Everything seems to be falling apart. Why is the devil freaking out and launching all his minions? Could it be that he knows this is the bottom of the ninth inning and he's about to beat? Could it be that the devil knows that his time is running out? What am I telling you, church? Get ready. We are about to see the glory of the way like we have never seen before. If you believe you're about to see Jesus, show up. They would meet. This is what Saul was after. Saul was after all the people that did this. He came after that. And all of a sudden, I love the writing. Luke says, this guy wasn't just after anybody. He was after the people of the way. We are people of the way. We are, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am
the way.
Stop it. He said, I am
the way.
Did he say, I am a way? That's politically incorrect. Do you realize what we're doing? I can preach this message in Texas and Alabama. We're preaching this in California. We are preaching in California that Jesus is. Are you nuts? You're part of a church right now that believes that Jesus is. I don't know if you want to water that down, go to another church. In this church, for every single day, this church is going to preach and teach that he is the only way. Somebody say one way. One way to be saved. One way for eternal life. One way for abundant life. One way to do away with your past. One way to do away with your sins. One way to shake off hell. One way to fulfill your destiny. One way to live out your purpose. One way to change the world. He is the way. He is the way in. He is the way through. And he is the way out. He is the way out of your Egypt, through your desert and into your promised land. He is the way out of your past, through your present and into your future. He is the way out of your hell, through the heartbreak and into heaven. Somebody say, he is the way. Do you know why we serve the God of the way? Why of the exclusive way? We serve why the way? Because we don't serve a little G God.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program. so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Well, you know, because we're part of the way, and it's not like little God, it's big God, big G.
The big G. Then why do certain people act like they serve the little G God? And they pray and they live like they serve the little G God. There's a bunch of little G gods. In this church, we don't pray to the little G gods. We pray to the big G God. I don't know about you. Somebody comes in and you go, why are you guys so loud? Why do you pray so big? We praise big because we serve the big G God. Any worshipers in the house? We don't pray to the little G God. We pray to the big G God. We don't worship the little G God. We worship the big G God.
That's the whole thing? But you got to make sure. You got to just make sure, Pastor Sam, that you're not throwing up. Keep that thumb in there. Yeah, big G. You don't want to throw a big C. Just throw a big G.
What are you talking about? What in the name of the good Lord are you talking about? What? Didn't he have that in Bethlehem? Throw a big G God, big C God?
Just keep that thumb bent.
Keep the thumb bent?
Yeah.
Like if I have arthritis?
Exactly.
Is your generation committed to the big G God? You know there are little G's in your generation. But you have your generation worshiping a bunch of little G gods. The G of narcissism and secular humanism, of ideologies and teachings and social constructs that just totally come against what God says. But you guys are going to rise up. You already did. Your generation is about to change the world. You're going to reintroduce the world to the glory of God like this world has never seen before. What does that mean? I'm going to be honest. Guys, this is not scripted. I just want to tell you, you all preachers, and you're going to be preaching on pastoring on campuses, we don't need more speakers. We need more preachers that preach that Jesus is the only way. We don't need more singers. We need worshipers that usher in the glory of God. I'm going to be honest. We don't even need more conferences. We need more gatherings where Jesus shows up and devils run out. Where Jesus shows up and bondage runs out. I don't know about you, but I do believe. I traveled in New Zealand, went around at different countries in the past week and a half. I'm seeing hunger. I'm telling you, listen, don't be surprised. We're about to, there are two types of people right now. There are people saying right now, we should reduce churches. This all came out in the last few weeks. We should reduce. 30% of Christians are not coming back to church. So they doubled down and they studied that 30%, they predicted 36% weren't coming back. 30% of people that went to church prior to COVID are not coming to church now. So churches on average are 30% emptier than what they were before COVID. And then some of these people are saying we're not coming back, period. Whoa. So I'm just here to, there are two types of pastors and leaders. There are those that are going, we should reduce the auditorium times and we should cut down on our programs. I know churches that literally shut down for the summer and said they're going to pick up in September. That's that kind of church. Then we have some cuckoo for Cocoa Puff people on the other side that say, shutting down? Smaller? Find me a bigger building. We have more people that are about. Somebody prays like you know God's about to show up. How many believe that God's about to show off his glory like we have never seen before in your family, in your home, in your calling, in your ministry? If you believe, if you still believe that we are about to see our prodigal sons and daughters come back home, now give God the best shout of praise you've given him all day. Praise it. Praise like you believe it. Serve the big G God. Worship like you believe it. All right, final. For you guys there, I'll let you guys go because you're union workers. Here it is. 81% of Americans, Gallup poll. I'm going to have this stuff for you on the app tomorrow so you can look at the studies. 81% of Americans believe in God. That number is down from 10 years ago. It used to be 87%, 86%, 87%. The news articles that day, If you read the news or saw the news, NBC, ABC, CBS, and so forth, they were freaking out. Aha! Americans are becoming less and less godly. Aha! We're becoming more a non-believing nation. 81% still believe in God. So the news put it like, aha, we're becoming secular. And then in Europe, they're going like, 81% of you crazy Americans believe in God? We're like in the low 30s, mid 30s. Your people still believe in God? In spite of every commercial, every movie, every influencer, in spite of all the politicians, in spite of people cursing God, using God as a curse word, coming against God, notice how God somehow, 81% of Americans say, in spite of everything around us, we still believe in God. Close to 50% still believe that the Word of God is inspired by God. I don't know if you understand that. You would think no one believes that. But no, 49% believe the Word of God is inspired by God. There's a smaller number that believes it is the literal Word of God, every single page, every single word. But 49% believe it is close to 50%. And then Harvard came out with the craziest study. Oh, Harvard. We're going to have this on the app. The Harvard University study. One of the largest studies ever. They wanted to know who are the healthiest people in America. They went through specific areas. What people in America are less likely to ever think about committing suicide? What people in America are, what group of people identified are the group of people less likely to suffer from depression or anxiety where it breaks them? So they went, who are the healthiest mental health people in America? They went through a bunch of categories. Who are the most joyful? Who are the most this? Who are the most this? Who are the most compassionate? The most loving? You know how they call us like, you're hateful? The most loving, the most loving. The most, guess which group came out as the healthiest group? The people in this auditorium on a hot Sunday afternoon in Sacramento, California. No, you missed it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we don't have a religion. We have a relationship with the living God. If you're a Christian, you have joy. I said, if you're a Christian, you have joy. I said, if you have Christian, you have joy. You have love. You have peace. Are there any followers of the way here today? If you're a follower of the way, lift up your hands and repeat after me. I am a proud follower of the way. Say it like you believe it. I am a proud follower of the way. If you really are, if you know that you are followers of the way, Jesus is the way, not a way. And it's beautiful. It's not arrogant. It's compassionate. The world is broken. They need to know. They need to know. For God to be the way in your life, for you to live out the purpose of the way, you must learn to get out of the way. I will repeat that. For God to be the way in your life, for you to live out the purpose of the way, you must learn to get out of the way. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. You don't want to be in the way of God having his way in your life. Every single day, get out of the way as you live in the way, permitting God to have his way in your life. All right, thank you. Forget it. Just thank you. Keep that thumb. Ready? Stay right here. This happened, and I'll wrap up with this. Right here. Go right here. Responsible for early Christians dying. In Acts chapter 7, one of the first deacons in the church, a guy named Stephen, rock star preacher, had a massive Instagram follower. Stephen comes along. They literally dragged him out of a town. They told him, deny Jesus. He said, nah. They stoned him. They literally picked up stones. They put him like this. And they stoned him to death. They took his clothes and they brought the clothes to the feet. Acts chapter 7 of a young Saul. In Acts 22, he repeats verbatim after he's a Christian, he says, I was there. I was there when they killed Stephen and they brought his clothes over. So all of a sudden, this man is going en route to kill more Christians, the followers of the way. And this happens. Jesus shows up. This is Jesus post-resurrection. By the way, this is going to mess up many people theologically. This is Jesus post. Everybody go. I love my church. That's probably a curse word in Italy, and we just did it. Jesus, if somebody laughs afterward, I got that now. Jesus literally after the ascension. He said after Jesus in Acts chapter 1 went up, he does a cameo. A cameo. Jesus goes, bam. And Jesus is the light of the world, and he is shining so brightly. So brightly that the moment he shows up, this guy, who is dark, he's a killer, an assassin. He authorizes the death of Christians, the followers. The moment the light shows up, what does darkness do? Every time the light shows up in your life, darkness will have no other choice but to fall. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Without exception, John chapter 1, verse 5, light will always overcome darkness. Every bit of darkness has no other choice but to fall. If you believe that, give God one more praise.
Sam Rodriguez, best-selling author, film producer, and pastor of New Season Church in Sacramento, has a new book, Persevere with Power, What Heaven Starts, Hell Cannot Stop.
Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're going to go from a plow to a mantle, and you're going to walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus.
Order this book now, and while supplies last, receive a free gift by emailing your receipt to books@newseasonworship.org.